from God, but it is not. And some things you have to pay for. And the Lord wants you to. He wants you to extend yourself. And I'm not just talking about financially, but there are many ways to buy something. But I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 3 and starting at verse 14. We have a problem here with one of the seven churches of Asia. It's called the Laodicean Church. It's not the Antioch Church. It's a different church. But I'm going to use them as an example. And you know what they say? If the cap fits, wear it. But here we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you, the Lord says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Buying the treasures of God. Heavenly Father, we open our hearts to you now, and we ask you to help us, to teach us, to stir us, to provoke us to righteousness. We welcome all that you would do in us and through us today. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In the Laodicean church, there was a problem. In the Bible, it's called lukewarmness. They're neither hot nor cold. They're neither running away from God, but they're not on fire for the Lord either. They're just apathetic. And there is a remedy to apathy. The remedy that the Lord gives is to buy something. He says, spend something, come up to heaven. You didn't know that there is a store in heaven where the Lord says, I counsel you to buy from me. The Lord is the storekeeper, and he says, I want to sell you something. I wonder if you're ready to buy it. It sounds funny, doesn't it? But this is exactly what the scripture says. The Lord says, you can buy something off me. Now, you can't buy with just money. It has to be with your heart. On one occasion, there was a certain sorcerer who tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit and the release of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And they cursed him and he went blind. They said, your money perish with you because you think you can buy the Holy Spirit with money. So when we're talking about buying things, we're not just saying that you can stay in your ivory tower, especially if you have lots and lots of money, and you can just put out the money and get things from God. I think there might be some business people who are on church boards who have a lot of money who spend their money to buy their way, so to speak, into the church politics. But that will never get you to first base with God's politics, because it's not just having money. It has to do with the release of your heart. It has to do with God touching your heart and calling you to spend. And he says, I counsel you to buy from me. And he says three specific things. He says, buy gold that's been tried in the fire. These are the three treasures that are mentioned here. Buy a white robe so that you may not be naked and you might be covered. And buy eye salve for your eyes so that you won't be blind, so that you'll be able to see. So before the meeting is finished, I'm going to share with you more about this gold and this white garment and this eye salve. But come with me now to Matthew's gospel. And we read there in Matthew chapter 13, one of the parables of Jesus. And he says, Matthew 13 and verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. The Lord says this is what the kingdom of heaven's like. It's like finding a buried treasure. Who do you think hid the treasure in the first place, in the field? Well, God did. He has hidden a treasure in a field, in this world, for you to find. And when you hear the gospel, which might be coming through My Hope Billy Graham program, or some other way, you get to discover that there is a treasure in this field that is amazing, that is greater than the field, amen, that is so fantastic. It's the treasure of all treasures. And the scripture says the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's like going on a scavenger hunt and finding this amazing treasure that is better than anything the world has to offer. And when you find this treasure, the scripture says that this man went and hid it again. He went and hid it again. He wanted to make sure that this treasure was going to come to him. And then he went, after hiding it, he went and sold everything that he had in order to buy the field so that the treasure that was in the field could be his. Do you understand there are some things that are going to cost you something? If you want the things of the Lord, there needs to be a passion in your heart. There needs to be a sacrifice in your heart. There needs to be a cost that you are willing to pay for. And without that, you will not have passion. In fact, you will be apathetic. You will be lukewarm. The remedy for lukewarmness is start spending. Now, I know a lot of ladies are saying hallelujah right now. Just give me the credit card. I want to be passionate. I'm going to the mall. Well, this is something that costs your life. It costs everything you've got. I want to take you into the Old Testament and show you two different examples of this amazing story. We go, first of all, to Genesis chapter 23. In Genesis chapter 3, we read about Abraham. And his wife has just passed away. Do you know how old Sarah was when she passed away? You're going to find out. It says in Genesis chapter 23 and verse 1, Sarah lived to be 127 years old. Now, she was an amazing looker, because even when she was 100 years of age, they had to watch out. Abraham had to watch out that the other men didn't steal her from him. Whatever she was taking, I'm sure that some people here would like that same stuff. But she is 127 years of age, and she died in Kiriath Arba. That's Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. Then Abraham rose from beside his dead wife and spoke to the Hittites who were living there. He said, I am an immigrant, I'm an alien and a stranger among you. sell me some property for a burial site here so I can bury my dead. Now, he is willing to spend some money. We're talking about the treasures of God, and Abraham says, let me buy a piece of land so I can bury my wife. The Hittites replied to Abraham, sir, listen to us. You're a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will refuse you his tomb for burying your dead. Then Abraham rose and bowed down before the people of the land, the Hittites, and he said to them, if you are willing to let me bury my dead, then listen to me and intercede with Ephron, son of Zorah, on my behalf. So he will sell me the cave at Machpelah, which belongs to him and is at the end of his field. Ask him to sell it to me for the full price as a burial site among you. Ephrathon the Hittite was sitting among the people, and he was able to hear what Abraham said. And he replied to Abraham in the hearing of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. No, my lord, he said, listen to me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead. Again, Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron in their hearing, listen to me if you will. I will pay the price of the field. Accept it from me so I can bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, listen to me, my lord. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver, but what is that between me and you? Bury your dead. Abraham agreed to Ephron's terms and weighed out for him the price he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weight current among the merchants. So Ephron's field in Machpelah near Mamre, both the field and the cave in it, and all the trees within the borders of the field were deeded to Abraham as his property in the presence of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. Afterward, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which is at Hebron in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave in it were deeded to Abraham by the Hittites as a burial site. It's an amazing story, but it's interesting that Hebron today is one of the seven cities that is given over to the Palestinian people. But it belongs to Israel. And Abraham actually bought a field and the cave in Hebron. And he insisted upon it. I know that it was God who put it in his heart. Why wouldn't Abraham have just said, oh, somebody's going to give me some land for free, I'll take it. That must be the blessings of the Lord. Don't think that just because you're getting something for free, it's always the blessing of the Lord. Sometimes you should pay for something. Sometimes you should come up and say, this is so valuable to me, I must pay for it. And there are some things that you cannot get from God for free. There are some treasures that God has that will cost you everything. You'll have to sell all that you've got spiritually and emotionally and practically speaking in order to take hold of the purpose of passion for your life. And it's the people who say, no, I just want to coast. I want to get away with as much as I can. I want to be a part of the church. I want to serve a little bit. I want to give here and there to other people. But I don't want it to really cost me. And the Lord says, that's a kind of lukewarmness. And I counsel you to buy from me gold that's been tried in the fire. I counsel you to buy from me some white robes. And I counsel you to buy from me some eye salve so that you can see. Do you think there might just be in the church today some people that are leaning toward the poor, naked, and blind side of spirituality? It just might be true that we need a shaking in the Church of Jesus Christ in America. How will it happen? What is the antidote to this? The Lord says, I counsel you to buy from me. It was so important that Abraham heard from God and that he bought this field. Just imagine if he had said, okay, guess what happened? He could be talking to his sons. The Hittites have just acknowledged me as a great prince among them. And because of it, they've let me bury Sarah in one of their tombs. And in generations to come, the land is not Abraham's. And he maybe cannot even go to that place to visit and honor the memorial of his wife. So he insisted that that cave be bought. There's more to it than that, because so many of the patriarchs were buried in this same cave. And when Jesus rose from the dead, it says that some of the caves, not too far away, were opened, and many of the patriarchs came and walked in the streets of Jerusalem. So there is something prophetic going on that had to do with the treasures of God. There are some hidden treasures. I think Abraham, he's actually called a prophet in this scripture. And he knew something, either instinctively or from the Lord, that yes, there is coming a pre-resurrection day for a few good patriarchs. So you must buy this cave. And patriarchs after the time of Abraham said, whatever you do, make sure that you take my body and you bury it in the cave where Abraham is buried. Jacob was one, and Joseph was another. Well, this isn't the only story in the Bible where there is an insistence on paying a price. Let's look at the life of David in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 18. 2 Samuel 24, 18, we read a similar story. On that day, Gad went to David and said to him, go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David went up as the Lord had commanded through Gad. When Araunah looked and saw the king and his men coming toward him, he went out and bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? To buy your threshing floor, David answered, so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take whatever he pleases, whatever pleases him, and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here are threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. O king, Araunah gives all this to the king. Araunah also said to him, and may the Lord your God accept you. I'll give you the land. I'll give you the oxen. I'll even give you the wood to burn. Come and take it, and may God be with you. I want to bless you. Verse 24, but the king replied to Araunah, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered prayer in behalf of the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped. So first it's Abraham, and then 1,500 years later, it's David. David says, the Lord told me. The Lord spoke through Gad the prophet and said, David, go and get this piece of land and offer the sacrifice unto the Lord so that the judgment may stop that is on the land. 75,000 people are dying in a plague. And he goes up from the city of David to Mount Zion, to Mount Moriah, to Araunah's threshing floor. He did not know at that time the significance of this piece of property, of this hilltop. He had come to this city of the Jebusites, and he had overtaken it, and he had called it the city of David. But up on the north, on the sides of the north, there was a hilltop just above the city of David, and it was a threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And there, Araunah would take his grain, because it was up on the hilltop, and he would throw it up in the air after threshing it and beating it, and the kernels and the chaff would be separated by the wind. The chaff would get blown away. It was right on the hilltop. And you know what that spot is? It's the exact same spot where Abraham offered Isaac. And Abraham and Isaac were going up this hill 1,500 years earlier on the same hill. And Isaac said, "Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "The Lord God will provide a lamb on this mountain." Do you know it's the same mountain that Jesus Christ died on? Mount Moriah. It's the same place where God put his name. It's the same place, that mountaintop, where the temple was built. The Temple Mount sits on that place today. And just as in Hebron, so also on the Temple Mount, there's a Muslim shrine, the Dome of the Rock. But that very place David went up to the high point of Mount Zion, which is now in the middle of Jerusalem. And he said, "Araunah, I want to buy this land from you." Araunah says, "No, I will give it to you, O king. You can have this property, and I'll give you some oxen and some wood. Come, let me bless you." How many Christians would say, "Yes, I'll take the blessing. God must be in it, because I got it for free." David said, "No. No, I will not have it." And then he bought it for silver. And then he put an altar there to the Lord. And he bought oxen and he sacrificed them to the Lord. And the plague over the land was stopped. It happened in the New Testament church. It said from time to time, men and women were bringing great sums of money and laying them at the apostles' feet. And Joseph from Cyprus, who was also called Barnabas, sold a piece of land and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And everyone had everything in common because none of them lacked because of the generosity of the people. The Lord says, "I counsel you to buy from me." Now, your salvation is free. Well, Jesus paid an awful lot for it, but it's free for you. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him with your mouth, and you will be saved. In fact, you don't have to jump through hoops. You just have to receive the mercy of God and give him thanks. Confess his name. But the kingdom of God is not like that. The government of God, the blessings of God, and the treasures of God are not free. The kingdom of God is like a man who, while walking through a field, finds a hidden treasure. I wonder if you've discovered the hidden treasures of the Lord. I wonder if you've realized that the giving and the cost that it has meant to you, it might be financial cost. It might be service cost. It might be endurance cost. It might be worship sacrifice cost. It might be many other things, a death to yourself kind of cost. But all the cost of passion within you that you spend, have you realized that God brings out of hiding some treasures for you? He says, I counsel you to buy from me three things. Gold tried in the fire. And the scripture teaches us about that gold that's tried in the fire. It tells us that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that has been refined in the fire. The trial of your faith is sure to come. You can kind of sidestep the trial of your faith. You can take shortcuts. It's hard to understand the trial of your faith because when you're tried in your faith, it doesn't make sense. It seems to go against that which the Lord has promised. It seems to be such a thing of difficulty, and no matter how you pray to get rid of it, it's still there because it's a trial of your faith. And if it was clear, if you understood it all, it wouldn't be a trial of your faith. But this trial of your faith, the Lord says, is so precious. It's more valuable than gold because there is an endurance and a patience and a working of the love of God and the humility of God and the power of God in your life when you are tried and refined as pure gold. You don't realize, none of us realize, how much we need to change. Yeah, the person you're married to does, right? Or maybe your parents know, or maybe your children know. But we often have this blind spot about ourselves. And we have this attitude, well, if I can just do my very best, what more could God expect? Well, actually, He calls you to be like Jesus. He expects a whole lot more of you. He does. Now, if you don't change, He'll still bring you into heaven. He'll still bless you. His kindness and goodness and mercy will still be all over you. But your treasures and rewards will be minimized. So He says, I counsel you to buy off of me some gold. How do you get this gold? Well, you endure and continue with your face on the Lord. When you are chastened, and the Lord says, every son and daughter whom He receives, He chastens. And what son or daughter is there that the Lord doesn't chasten? The Lord says he's an illegitimate child if he's not disciplined of God. So the Lord is at work to change you. And so He puts you through some fire to get the dross out, to get the impurities out. And most of us resist the trials. When the Lord's trying to work on our lives, we're saying, get behind me, Satan, I rebuke you. But if we say, Lord, I am your servant. Oh, this is a hard thing. Especially when it is excruciating. And some trials are. I wish I could save my children from all of their pains. I wish I could save the people in the church who, when I hear their stories of difficulty and pressure and unfair behavior and loss, and I wish I could solve the problem for them and say, all right, you didn't know it, but I'm actually a billionaire, so I'm going to take care of you. God would not want it. There are some things He has designed for you to go through, to bring out of you something that is pure gold. Who is it that's a champion in the day of battle? Who can be a champion in the day when everything fails? Who can be the champion when the world's falling apart? Who can shine with the glory of God? Well, that's a treasure. Have you met anybody who has a treasure like that? Who has that kind of character in them? They're passionate for Jesus kind of people. They're not lukewarm. And then he says, I counsel you to buy off of me white robes. And the Bible tells us what the white robes are. If you come with me in the book of Revelation to the 19th chapter, it talks about the white robes. It says in Revelation 19 and verse 6, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, has been given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Wow. And we just thought it was the covering of the blood of Jesus. And we didn't have to do anything. But that's not what it says here. It says that the white robe is the activity, the actions of service. There's a call to serve. He says, come and buy from me white robes. How do you buy them? He says, well, you serve me. You serve me with all your heart. So if you want some gold, you endure and you walk with God and you take his teaching in your life when you're being tried. And if you want to buy some white robes, because you'll look better in heaven with them, he says, then serve, because it's the righteous service and acts of the saints. I am so excited that we have a serving church. And almost everybody that I know in this church is serving in some way. I am so proud of you for that. But you will get some treasures. Some days you don't feel like serving. Some days you feel like giving up. Some days you feel like, you know, I don't know if my service is really producing anything. I don't know if it means anything. I don't know if I want to continue doing it. Be very careful about the service that you let go. There are some people who want to find a way to serve and they can't find a way to serve. But if you find a way to serve, if somehow you've pushed in and said, this is how I can serve, I'm going to serve. And I'm going to serve more than that. There are some treasures that will come your way. There's a tailor working on your behalf. Some white robes. You might say, well, this is kind of a salvation by works. Well, no, it's not. Salvation's free. You got your ticket to get on the train, the hallelujah train. Jesus paid for all that. But there's some treasures that will cost you everything. And the third one mentioned in the book of Revelation, he says, and I counsel you to buy some eye salve. And the eye salve is so you can see. It's a kind of lotion that you put on your eyes so that you will have revelation. I ask you, how much revelation are you receiving these days? I don't mean how much are you hearing from other people. There's a lot of just copycats. But you're a daughter of God Almighty. You're a son of the King. You're to hear from Him and receive revelation from Him. Has the tap been turned on for you? When you read the Scripture, when you pray, when you sleep at night, does the spirit of revelation come? Are the treasures of God being unfolded to you? How do you get this? The Lord says, I counsel you to buy from me some of this eye lotion so that you can see. I'm reminded of the story of Thomas, who had a sight problem. He's called by some doubting Thomas, because he wasn't there when Jesus, after he rose from the dead, first appeared to the disciples. And he wouldn't believe them. He said, unless I see with my eyes the nail prints in his hands, and unless I put my own hand in his side, I will not believe that he is raised from the dead. And in the next meeting, Jesus walks through the wall and is standing there. And Thomas goes, oh my God. That's become a very famous saying these days. And he looks right at Thomas. And he says, Thomas, come. Put your hand in this hole and look at the prints in my hands. And Thomas repents. He becomes a powerful missionary. But then the Lord says this. Why did you doubt, Thomas? Blessed are you because today you have seen and touched. But more blessed are those who believe, even though they have not seen with their naked eye or touched with their hands. How do you get this eye salve? It comes when you exercise amazing faith. If you don't think well of yourself, you cannot have good faith. That sounds strange, doesn't it? You have to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Which means that if you diligently seek him, he's going to reward you, and you must believe that. So if you keep saying, well, God won't bless me, God never shows up for me, God doesn't help me, well, you'll mostly be blind. But when you say, Lord, thank you for the way you made me, with all of my faults, I thank you that you gave me this breath and this body and the spirit. And I thank you that Jesus died on the cross for me. And today I come boldly as a son of God into your presence to receive help in time of need. And Lord, I ask you now to show me your way. Delight yourself in your son, Lord. If you don't like yourself, you'll have a hard time doing that. That will interfere with your faith. Because you can't just believe that God is and that he blesses other people. You've got to believe that he blesses you. If you want these treasures, the Lord says, buy off me. See, it's all about being passionate. Are you determined to be passionate? I like the story of Ruth. When her husband has passed away, Orpah, her sister-in-law's husband, has passed away. Her father-in-law has passed away, and there's only Naomi left. And Naomi says, you should go back to your people, Ruth. I'm going back after 10 years without a husband and without sons to Bethlehem, to my kinfolk. And Ruth says, do not ask me to leave you. I want you to hear something now. I want you to see her cost, her sacrifice, and what she's spending right here at this moment. Naomi says, you don't owe me anything. You can go. And Ruth says, do not ask me to leave you. For where you go, I will go. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. And where you live, I will live. And where you die, I will die. And there also I will be buried. And the Bible says, and when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined, I wonder if you know what it means to be determined. That means it will cost you something. It will not be convenient. There will be something that comes from you that says, I will serve, I will give, I will be passionate. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to be apathetic and not know it? To be so apathetic that you didn't know you were apathetic? Just imagine if you were coming to Antioch International Church and you were just a lukewarm kind of Christian. Just imagine. How could you solve this problem? How can you change it? Well, the Lord tells you how. He says, I counsel you to buy, to spend, to sacrifice. And you will become passionate. Whatever you pour your life into will fill you. So today, I throw a challenge out to you. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide in this. But ask the Lord, are you spending enough? Paul said it. He said, I will gladly spend and be spent, even though the more I love you, the less I be loved. He said, my place, I am a debtor, is to spend. So what's the goal of your life today? And is there a passion in you for the things of the Lord? You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't even have to have any extra money. But there's ways in which you can spend. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Are you ready to dedicate your life to Him and to say, Lord, I will give. I will give. I will give you my life. Think of yourself as being all alone right now, and you're walking through a field. You can hear the birds singing and see the butterflies. And all of a sudden, you kick something. And you look down at your feet. And there's a piece of gold as big as the pulpit. Just imagine. What would you do? Well, person in the Bible story hides it, puts some dirt over it and some leaves, and makes it look like, you know, nobody walked that way before. Some rocks there. And then they went and sold everything they had. Everything they had. And they went and bought the field to get the treasure. This has to do with your destiny. It has to do with the call of God on your life. Some of you are saying, why is there a roadblock? You know, sometimes things blow up under our feet because God doesn't want you there. He wants to give you something better. And you're clinging on to something. And He can't give you the better thing until He blows up the thing that you're involved in. And when He blows it up, you might say, oh God, why you do that to me? I'm your child. Do you trust Him? Do you really trust Him? Are you ready to be passionate for Him? It will cost you everything, but you'll get the treasure in the field. The Bible says, and for joy. In England, they would say, oh, my giddy aunt. Oh, for joy, he went and sold everything he had. Because he found the treasure in the field. Oh, may God give us this revelation. So we'll see that this sacrifice is no sacrifice. It's taking hold of the great treasure of partnership with heaven. Would you stand to your feet? I like to pray with you and to have you pray with me. So please have your hands out in front of you, and would you pray this prayer? Say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for your word that has spoken to my heart today. I receive it, Lord. I ask you to teach me now and to show me that which I must spend for you. I will be spent, and I will spend for the glory of God, of my finances, of my energies, of my time, of my talents. I give it all to you. Let me be passionate for you. Let me be hot for heaven. I receive your blessing. And I look for the resolve of God in my life. I speak it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I speak the blessing of the Lord over you, the power of the Holy Spirit to fill you and to equip you and to excite you in His purpose and to give you such revelation so that you might say, for the joy of it all, I went and sold all that I had and moved forward in the purposes of God. I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life, over your children, over your marriage, over your grandchildren, over your future. I open the door for you for the purposes of God and the power of the Holy One of Israel to flow through you. I speak abundant faith into your life. I speak endurance in time of trial and strength from the Lord to be your portion. And I speak service to flow through you, flowing through your hands and your heart. May God give you the treasures that are your inheritance. I speak it over you in Jesus' name.